Hey friends, Coach Shelby and Coach Christine welcoming you in and letting you know it's time for brunch, where there's always an open table, a hot cup of coffee, and endless running fun to keep you moving and grooving. So lace up your shoes, put a smile on your face, and let's log some miles. And even if you're not out moving about at the moment, no worries, listening along and whistle while we work it out. Today, we're going to be chatting with a very special guest and race director for the Town of Celebration Marathon and Half Marathon. But before we bring him into the brunch table, we want to remind you in your newsletter, we had a little fun with a how to pick an ideal race for you quiz, because I feel like we never really lost that nostalgia from the 90s of taking like what personality quiz are you?
I still do that.
You send me them. The other one that you did, I was a lion and a golden retriever. So it was an identity crisis for me.
Yeah, I mean, we have traits from both. Yeah, no, I absolutely still do them. I think that's maybe why I like the whole world of HR, human resources, so much, because they gravitate towards all these type of tests. So any shout out to our friends that are in HR, if you guys ever need a guinea pig on people that you want to like maybe conduct some of those tests that you get your specializations, your certifications in, I am your girl. I literally will take them all. I'm riveted by them.
I love finding out like what fruit I am or what type of pillow I am. Like, I don't know. For me, it's just, it usually says a lot about my personality. Even like how we said in our other episode about what cup of coffee you'd use is you as a runner. That was so hilarious to see.
That was so much fun.
It was awesome how heated everybody got.
Yeah, we had to go back and like provide a couple of others that maybe didn't make the list. So friends, if you didn't check it out, you really should be following us on Instagram, because that's where that fun was at, or joining us at our community page as well, because that's where we get to get into like the lengthier debates. But it was a lot of fun. I think most folks really feel like their coffee personality really was akin to their running personality.
One of our listeners, Rebecca, shout out to Rebecca. She actually messaged and she goes, "Why is my black coffee with the decaf coffee?" And I literally responded, I'm like, please take it up with Instagram. The fact that they only allow 10 slides. But listen, I feel like people who only drink black coffee and only drink decaf, we're a breed of our own. So it only made sense for those to go together.
I feel like they're kind of polar opposites, though.
But like, they're both very compelling. Like, people have a lot of opinions on both of those two coffee choices.
I had no idea there were so many people that were half, calf, calf like you. I mean, not to say that you're not unique, but I was surprised. I thought that most of the world really liked caffeine in their coffee. But I guess there's a lot of you guys, a lot of half, calf, calf people. But with today, what we're trying to figure out, friends, more so than anything else, is what is your running race style? Like, do you like that small town feel? Are you more of a big town? You want the big city lights and those big crowds, or a little Goldilocks where you like it just right? That's, I think, kind of me for the most part. And I think they all have a great place in your training. But I think more so when you're starting to focus on maybe your ideal race in terms of what am I going to get excited about? What's going to put an extra pep in my step? It is trying to figure out what is it that I'm actually looking for on race day, which, of course, we're going to hear from Ken in just a little bit, what it kind of takes behind the scenes to put on an ideal race for runners by runners. So I think
I'm really excited.
Seriously.
And after you've talked about this race so much, I'm like, I feel like I'm about to meet the Wizard of Oz, like the man behind the curtain, the Emerald City Gates.
That is the perfect description of him. Definitely. Except he's not a fraud. He really is. Yeah. He is truly a wizard. And I'm going to try not to fangirl too much, even though I have drug out every single piece of celebration, a Town of Celebration swag that I've ever encountered. And I just found like my beer opener. Oh my gosh. Like, let's not go into it anymore, because you guys are going to hear me gush plenty. So let's just go ahead. And I don't know. What do you think, Coach? Bring him on in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
We are very excited to be pulling up an extra seat to the brunch table for your episode pleasure this day, because you've heard us talk quite a bit about this specific race, and you pretty much heard Coach Christine not shut up about the blankets that she has received, and she taunts me any chance she gets with them. But we are very, very thrilled to have Ken Zambito, the race director of the Town of Celebration Marathon and Half Marathon. Ken, we are so excited to finally have you here and to talk all things, obviously, celebration and running. But first, I'd love to hear a little bit of bio of yourself. Let our brunchers get to know you and who you are.
Well, thank you both for having me on your podcast. This will be my first ever podcast. So,
That's even better.
You thought I was a bigger celebrity than I am.
No, but you really are. Guys, I'm having a hard time not fangirling because I cannot express to you how I feel such admiration for this specific race, because I feel like it's the race for a true runner who wants just a fun time, lots of simplistic courses to follow, logistics, and people who really know how to take care of the runner. Like, of all of the races I've done, this is one of the ones where I would say is in the top. So beyond that, you are a celebrity, and we can't wait to get into a little bit more about how you got here to this celebrity status.
Okay. Well, we'll start. I'll try and keep it brief. I ran cross country in high school, track like a lot of folks, and then I quit for 20 years, and I had a moment where I decided to get back into it, and decided I'm just going to go out and run a marathon, right? So I signed up for Disney. I live on Disney doorstep, and went out and did that. Knee tendonitis, miserable training by myself, all the good stuff. But I got through the race, and then it was like, okay, cool. That was a great experience. You know, I probably need to do that again. However, I had one of my friends who was really into biking, and he was like, hey, let's go do a triathlon. I'm like, sure, sounds good. Let's go do that. So I kind of went down the triathlon route for a number of years. The gateway drug to triathlons, your sprints, and then you work your way up. And I did Ironman Florida like 7 times. And then I was finally like, okay, that's enough of that. And somebody mentioned to me the 50 States Marathon Club. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. What do you got to do? I was running a marathon in every state. So at that point, I was like, all right, that's the next kind of goal. And started doing that. And probably over about 5.5, 6 year period, worked my way through the states. There were times running one every month, just bouncing race to race. And it was a good time. And I was in Maryland running the Lower Potomac River Marathon in Piney Point. Small race, about 200 runners, a little less than. And, we were all, the cold morning, we're all huddled inside. Race director comes in, it's like, all right, it's time to start, let's go. So we walk out and they point to a line on the ground and say, all right, here's the start line. And bullhorn, ready, go. And off we went. So, great, great race, great course. I think they had like one deputy manning the course. It was low key, and came back to my running group and I said, hey, we can do this. We could put on a race like this. It was nothing. That's kind of where the Celebration Marathon got started. And for myself, I've continued to run after I completed all my states. Did a couple of 100-milers up in Ann Arbor. And now I'm just sort of taking it easy, I'll run half marathon here and there, maybe one marathon a year. Just trying to keep it reasonable as I get, being an old man here.
I always that love kind that. Of, like, everybody slow plays it. Like, now I'm taking it easy. I just do this every once in a while.
Yeah, I think you've had your fill, but we have so many questions. So you take it 20-year hiatus, let's say. What was the actual catalyst to get back to running? I'm very curious about that, if it's something you could talk about or willing to talk about.
Nope, I can. That's not X-rated or anything. I was working on my master's MBA at Stetson, and one of the first classes I took was human behavior in the organization, and they were talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And, self-actualization is kind of the pinnacle of that. And somebody said, hey, the closest I felt to that was when I finished the Disney Marathon. And I went, I'm going to do that. And that was kind of it. And it was probably, I think it was a summer course. It was probably June. And I had 6 months. This was back, you know, 2001, or I think I ran the 2002 maybe. So, you know, it didn't quite fill up then. I was able to sign up. It wasn't as much of a challenge as it is now. And just went out and started training. Didn't know anything. Went across the street to the Nike outlet, bought a pair of shoes that absolutely killed me.
But did they look good? Because I think
our first they looked good either. I think it was, you know, let's go to the bargain spot and find some shoes. I think these fit. And and I blame my knee tendonitis on those. Sorry, Nike.
I was going to suggest that may have been part of the case. Yes.
I've run in Brooks adrenalines ever since and have been great. So there's the shout out to Brooks.
We're fans fellow of Run Brooks. Happy people here. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was just eyeing their new shoe and I'm like, I kind of like those. But if you would have asked me how you got back into running, I can guarantee that reasoning would not have been one of my top five guesses. I feel like it would have been Coach Christine's though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I haven't really ever had a chance to really talk to you, Ken, but I will say that self-actualization and the Maslow hierarchy is something that I work on a lot with my clients as well, because I do think that we have to have a lot of the other pyramids to be able to get to that point where you have the time and space and mindset and dedication to be able to really work on that top tier of that self-actualization. You have to have all these other foundational needs met, of course. But it is. I think that's the best description. It's exactly what I feel about crossing those finish lines. It really is that, wow, I have such a sense of accomplishment and feel like that actual purpose. So I feel like that may be part of why, and you could tell me that I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you by any means, but do you think that is also part of what drives you for year after year to come back and put the Town of Celebration Marathon and Half Marathon on for runners? Because I think that, to me, I feel like it's such a love, it's a pour outpouring of love that you guys put into this specific race, and it has such a great cause, and it really, to me, feels like you're giving back to the community.
Well, first of all, thank you. We appreciate that, and I'll say we, because there's a lot of folks that put out an effort to do this, and I will be perfectly honest, when I came back with the idea and we started talking about it in the running club, it was not an idea of, hey, let's try and raise money for a specific charity. It was, let's put on a race, you know, and then we found the charity later, right?
So, right.
But it was what we wanted to do was really put on a race for runners. So we, you know, our running group had all run a lot of different races, a lot of different places. And I said, let's bring back the best ideas that we experienced at races, and let's really make this a race for runners, right? And that was kind of the impetus for creating what you call a runner friendly race. And so that's what we did. And, you know, lots of long runs, chatting and talking. And from the time that I came back with this idea, which was March of 2012, I think, we had almost 2 years till we put on the first race. But that's what we did. We said, what do we like about other races? What do we want to differentiate? Because to me, it was all about, you got to be special. We've seen the competition running at that time, maybe not as much, but over the years, races just popping up everywhere. And people are looking for value, and you only have so many dollars to spread around. You only have so much time to spread around. So that was our goal, really put on a great race. That's what we wanted to do. And then we started giving, you know, the money away. So it's kind of like, now you're like, okay, I don't have a choice. I have to keep doing this because all these folks are benefiting from this. And truly, you know, when you have a race day and things go well, you know, you get a sense of satisfaction, you know, that people enjoyed it. I love to see people enjoying themselves, and that, you know, that really is what it's all about.
Can we call out and highlight a little bit of the numbers of what you guys have donated? Because it appears that you guys are almost closing in on $1 million, just about that $750,000 worth of money that you've been able to donate to nonprofits that do benefit and go directly into the community.
Absolutely. We're over 800,000 that we have donated scholarships for graduating seniors in Osceola County, which is where the celebration is at. We've been doing that since the first year. We've also taken up the cause of Boys and Girls Club of Osceola, And there's a group in Celebration, the Celebration Foundation, that has a component of their organization called Thriving in Place, where they help senior citizens to be a little more self-sufficient, stay in their homes. You know, if they need help, they need a ride somewhere, they need, you know, things like that. So those have been our primary things. The other thing we do that that helps with the, you know, the community, I will tell you that, you know, the first year we were going to do this, Celebration, like many communities, is, let me put it the right way, concerned about things that might disrupt their lifestyle. And
it is Florida. Yeah.
But I think that's actually probably the hardest part of being a race director. I don't know. But I would think that having to deal with the concerns of the community and the fact that they want to be able to get out and to leave their house at 7 o'clock in the morning without waiting until 2 o'clock.
Which, if they're not runners, I don't really understand where they're going at 7 a.m., but we'll come back to that.
Shelby.
Trust me, that some of them are going to work at Disney and they need to make sure they can get out.
Yeah. So
many times I will say, well, what time are you leaving? And here's the route you need to take and you'll be good. Don't worry about it. And if you leave before 7 a.m., you got no problem getting anywhere. But anyway, so we had that first year where it was, you know, a lot of questions, a lot of things that we had to work through. And once we got past that, it's been, the community has very well accepted it, embraced it really at this point. But that first year, one of the things that happened, and again, I didn't say this at the beginning, we put on this race. None of us had ever put on any race, not a 5K, not a 10K, nothing. So we are, you know, just going out there and winging it. And one of the things we had happen was when we were, you know, you're out trying to get your volunteers organized or thinking about it, is we're like, well, how are we going to get all these volunteers? Because one of the things was, what do you do for runners? Enough water stops.
Hmm.
You show up at a water stop and there's like two people there and you're like, this is terrible. We need groups. We need all this. So we decided we were going to invest in that. We reached out to a lot of the high school sports teams, churches in town, scouts, everything. And essentially we, you know, our volunteer water stations get paid. So that's part of, and I'm rambling here, but the money that we donate or we count for the donations is given to those groups as well. So it's all not-for-profits that receive that.
So to me, I'm hearing that it's a little bit of a sweat equity kind of a thing. So if they provide volunteers, okay, I think that's
brilliant. I love
that. Yes.
But again, talking about like doing the community as a whole, and really, like, it's almost like that hand, like the each finger going into a different stream. I think that's quite honestly brilliant and not stroking your ego in any which way.
Well, I have to give credit to my friend Bob, who was the one who came up with that idea. And we actually, the funny thing is that first year, we had no idea what to expect. We didn't, you know, really know. We said, well, we need to set a limit on this race. Let's set the limit at 2,000 entrants. And there were some side bets going on. I won a steak dinner because my friend Al, who is one of the original organizers, said, we're not going to get over 1,000 people. I'll bet you steak dinner we get over 1,000 people. And we sold out at 2,000 people. So I had all these people emailing saying, I got to get in this race. I really want to run this race. You know, the different things. I think my favorite was one guy who was like, I was supposed to sign my wife up for this race and I didn't do it and now it's sold out and I'm going to be in a whole lot of trouble if I don't figure this out. So we decided we're going to open up 250 more spots, but we made them all $100. At that first year, our race was like, I think we were charging like $40 or $50.
Mm-hmm.
It was really inexpensive. But these people wanted to, I said, so we had this extra, essentially $25,000. And that was where Bob said, why don't we use that to lock in our volunteer groups? And that was really the start. And we've done that ever since. And we've got great volunteers and commitments and they do a great job, but they get to see the benefit and the community gets to see it. You know, if your kids are out there volunteering, you kind of see, okay, that's bringing benefit to my family as well. And people really, you know, they like that.
I may have been one of the people emailing you, or I may have asked one of my friends to email you, say we didn't get our spots and we really want to run. But one of the things that I've loved about your website and everything about the fact that you guys have a really kind of tongue-in-cheek sense of humor, and it's, there's a lot of wittiness laced throughout, and folks will see that as well when they actually sign up and run this incredible race, because you guys go all out with some of the support signs for the, like the spectating signs, make me laugh every single time. I mean, some of them I've seen a couple of times now, and they still quite literally make me laugh out loud because they are so hilarious. So is that something that you guys also work on, and you kind of knew that sometimes people are getting into that part of their run where they need a little bit of levity, they need a little bit of pep in their step, and you guys really strategically place those, or has that just organically happened over the years?
No, that was, I think we had that from year one. And, you know, we looked at that stretch on Celebration Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's about 2.5 miles. And we're like, you know, we probably need something to get people's attention. And of course, we've all run races where people have held up funny signs. And we're like, let's just make signs. Let's do that. And so I'm going to take credit for probably half those signs. One of our organizers, Eric, probably gets credit for about the other half. And then over the years, we've added some here and there. You know, we've probably reached about our limit because somebody has to put all those signs out and pick all those signs up. And, you know, so we're driving down the boulevard. Somebody's jumping out of a moving van to sit a sign down to run back in.
Totally safe.
And then picking them up as it's getting dark and raining. Well, one of my favorite years, the year it just rained the entire time. And wondering if I was going to survive, you know, getting down the boulevard, picking up these signs. But
I volunteered year, but I was very lucky. I'm so sorry to say this, but I volunteered for like bib pickup, so I didn't have to deal with that rain. So I
don't think I've ever been wetter in my life.
It was atrocious.
And Saturday would have been a fine day, and Monday would have been a fine day, but it rained all day Sunday. So.
Yeah, it's runner. It's gonna happen, but
eventually
it's refreshing to hear a race like this where it's done by runners for runners, and not even just from like the logistics of having the proper volunteers set up, making the fun with the signs and everything, but the course itself, it's flat, it's fast, it's a runner's dream.
It quite literally is. So I feel like, again, talking about, as Coach Shelby just said, a race made for runners by runners, I think you guys take into account everyone who might be there who needs to Boston qualify or wants to PR and really needs a flat, fast condition type of run where they are in the looped marathon course. I know that there's some people who don't like to do the second loops. That's absolutely brilliant when you're trying to go for a PR or BQ because you know the course, you know exactly what you need to do. You kind of go into muscle memory in that back half quite a bit. So I love that aspect of it. I also, though, love the fact that you guys are so inclusive and really do think of the back of the packers because I've never made it to that finish line and felt like, oh man, I'm not going to be able to get my mimosa. Like, you guys always keep that runner's party going all the way through.
Yeah, the mimosas was another one of those things where we were like, you know, everybody has beer, and we do have beer, but nobody has mimosas. And was like, so that is one of those things that we thought was, you know, a unique ad. But you're right, we have those restaurants that in the downtown Celebration area that donate that food, and that's their contribution, and we really appreciate it. It can be challenging. It's a long day. If you've got marathoners, you know, we have a 7-hour time limit. We do not sweep the course. Nobody's getting forced off the course, but at some point I got to shut things down or mm-hmm. at least begin shutting things down. So mm-hmm. that's kind of our goal, but we make sure there is food available. There's always going to be beer and mimosas available. Even if you're finishing in that 7-hour time frame. And, you know, the pancakes that we have, that was one of the things a few years ago when we had concerns about, okay, are restaurants going to be solid? Are they going to be able to support this? We said, well, let's make pancakes. So I have a guy I work with who has a running group down in St. Cloud, and every year they come over and they man the pancake things and cook pancakes for us.
And, Shelby, I want to interject real quick. Quick, Ken, because we have a little bit of battle here between Team Sweet and Team Savory. They even have you in mind, my friend, because this is one of the very few races that I know of that has like quite a bit of savory dishes, not just those pancakes that are sometimes seen in post-run kind of festivities. They've got like a little bit of paella type, like a rice arroz kind of dish. It's
even though I'm going to say after you run a half marathon or a marathon, I don't care what you're shoving at me. I'm going to eat it and it's going to be the best dang meal I've ever had. Just saying.
Yeah. I have to give a shout out to the Columbia restaurant in Celebration there. They absolutely bring it every year. They provide black beans and rice. They provide salad. They provide bread, the paella, and they're there till the end. We, you know, we've been very fortunate to have them step up and do that for us, and they're a great supporter of the race.
The hometown feel is just awesome. Too,
but,
Yeah, I can't stress it enough. So I'm not going to wax poetic much more because, again, I don't know that anybody can really get it across until they actually experience it. And I know you've done clearly the marathon in every single state. I know the runners all brought back all this great information. I'm going to invite you guys to come join Coach Shelby and I for 2024. And you're going to want to sign up sooner rather than later because prices will go up at the end of the spooky month. So you don't want to get too scared. You want to make sure that you go ahead and just sign up and then register. We can't wait to cheer you on. You guys are going to see some of, again, the best sign ever. We have a big group of folks who love Run Disney because we do love Run Disney around here. But I will say, Ken, that my favorite sign, I feel like I shouldn't spoil a surprise, but it does have a little bit something to say about Run Disney. And maybe
I know
how.
Which one you're
going to
say.
is that one yours?
Yes, that's absolutely mine.
Oh my gosh, Shelby, we will talk about it. I'm going to leave it a surprise. I'm not going to share it with anyone. You guys are just going to have to sign up for this race and you'll see a little bit. It'll definitely make you smile as well. But with that said, friends, we do want you to absolutely go check out Celebration, the Town of Celebration Marathon and Half Marathon. We can't wait to learn more about it. But I do also want to ask you, Ken, just a couple more questions about what were some of your favorite states? And maybe how did your running and training for all of these really big, big audacious goals also play into having the boldness to start a race in a town when you had never run a race before? Because I feel like there has to be some crossover there with that boldness and courage.
Or just, you know, stupidity. I mean, sometimes you have to chalk things up to that, you know.
Again, we are runners, so.
It can mask itself as boldness or something like that.
But. I think that we can remarket it as boldness, but I do like I like how direct you are with it. Okay, well, let me go ahead and pull it back to my original question was, do you have some favorite states that maybe even inspired you a little bit?
There were, you know, I always get this question, what was your favorite race?
And
it is very, very difficult. I absolutely know which race I liked the least. I won't share it, but it was misery, and I don't want to, you know, somebody will sue me or something for
putting
this in their race. But I enjoyed, you know, who for a mid-size race, Des Moines actually puts on a really good race. I think they still have a 10K, a half, and a full, and I've run that a couple of times. I had a friend of mine who is working on her 50 states, and that one ended up being her 50th, so I went back and ran it. Even though I'd run it, I ran it to run with her. So I really like that. You know, for scenery, you can't beat Big Sur. It's just, you know, it's a challenging race, but it's really spectacular scenery. But I like the small races. Pocatello in Idaho was a nice small race. You know, they bring something different to the table. A lot of times they're, you know, they're just easier to navigate, right? You don't have to show up 3 hours before the race. You don't have to, you know, do all those logistical things. Hey, after Pocatello, you get a giant baked potato with sour cream.
I mean, almost as good as rice and beans. Not almost as good.
Bacon or not.
I mean, okay, now that you're throwing that into play, of course. So friends, we're going to have the link in our episode notes. We're definitely going to invite you guys to check it out because it is truly, and I'm not kidding, I even have my blankets right next to me as we're recording.
She does. I can attest to this. Her dork meter is fully off the charts.
You could go buy yourself blankets, but how much better is it when you earn it? I mean, come on. So with that said, friends, it's got great swag. It's got a great party. It's got a great atmosphere. You'll have brunch there, both with us and, of course, with the brunch that they provide at that post refreshments. And maybe we'll all get to get an autograph from Ken this year around. We'll have to see. So with that said, Ken, thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait to see you at Celebration next year.
Thank you for having me.
That was so much fun getting to talk to him, even though I have to laugh. One of the biggest points of this entire race is that we love the blankets. And we did not actually ask him how the blankets came to be. But I'm glad we got a little off the record talk.
Well, he did tell us a little bit. He gave us a bit of a background with one of the wonderful people. Oh, you know what? We're going to have to confirm that story. Maybe it's something that I've heard in the local lore here in our racing scene as to how those blankets came to be. You know what? We also forgot to ask him. And I honestly, I'm going to blame myself, Coach. I was, again, awestruck. I was officially in Oz in the Emerald City. We didn't ask him if he was Team Sweet or Team Savory, but I'm thinking based off
Savory.
Oh, you're just going to try to. I mean, I probably agree. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because at that post-race celebration, there's literally something for everybody, which I think is really, really important. So you could do a little team everything.
And now we'll just have to put him on the spot once we're done with the race and be like, listen, we ran the whole race. Now we need these answers. The people need to know.
Yeah, like that's not going to, like he doesn't have anything else going on that day that he needs to worry about or anything.
Not at all.
But friends, he did invite you all to come join us at brunch. You can register. Episode link will have celebrationmarathon.com. You could tackle the half marathon or tackle the full distance, and you're still going to get $15 off with the code brunch. This isn't sponsored. Nope. We weren't paid by any means. We're not going to get a kickback. We just truly, honestly, first of all, love when you can see the love and just support that the entire celebration community comes out to for this race. And as you heard, it quite literally takes an entire village to put these kind of really wonderful first-class events on. But second of all, with all of the good that it does for the community. So we'd love it if you guys want a little bit of a break from maybe the Run Disney scene and you still want to get away, especially come winter time for all of you Northeasterners where it starts to get a little dreary. Come on down to Florida. Come meet us at Celebration. We are super excited to be there.
And like Ken said, it's a race by runners for runners. So I feel like they get it. They're on the wavelength, they're running the groove, and it's pretty awesome. And I'm really excited too, because not only will the quiz help to tell you that yes, you should come, we're just gonna throw it out there. It also will kind of unlock the Pandora's box of how do I know what things mean the most to me.
Yeah, so let's get into it. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us now or towards the end what your style of race is? Do you like
I'm going to make you wait for it.
Okay. I don't know if anybody needs to wait for mine because I think everybody will probably have a pretty good idea that I like them all. Why choose when you can have them all? But let's get into it. So in the quiz, we discussed kind of a little bit of small and mid-size and big race energy. Now we're going to go point by point and we're going to discuss maybe some of the pros and cons. So crowd comfort. This one I think is a really big deal right out of the gate. And by that, I would say the crowd is like, how okay are you with standing in a super crowded corral for what could be a very lengthy amount of time while you tow on up, liking the logistics of getting there very early to find your place in the corral. That would be the biggest difference between a small hometown race and a big city race, where a small hometown race, you can kind of lollygaggle on up, find your place, enjoy it, get out there. In a big city race, you have the logistics of where you have to be there probably hours in advance, to say the least. So this one, I feel like the small hometown race, the pro is right there. There's just a lot of reduced pressure, not just from like other folks being out there with you, but also just that reduced pressure of your race pickup, your bib pickups, the race day feels, finding it. My smallest town race in memory was probably the Hatfield McCoy. And our start line was the parking lot of the Piggly Wiggly supermarket. It brought me so much joy.
I don't think I ever thought I was going to hear you say Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, it brought me so much joy. And I will tell you, I absolutely loved that race for a myriad of reasons. First of all, it had higher elevation than any race I've ever done in terms of what I had to climb, which was pretty fun and very challenging. But also because I have never in my life been so motivated to not necessarily rush through the race because there was not a lot to do in town. So I was doing it. I was at the big time. I was at the big show. Like that race was all there was going on that weekend. So I took my time and enjoyed all 26 miles.
I will say with the small town races, it the biggest pro is also the biggest con for me, because it is very convenient. You can go pick up your packet on the way to the grocery store. It's no fuss, no muss. But at the same time, you're still in your day-to-day life. So the night before the race, you're still having to, in my case, get the kid to bed, dinner, dishes, all of that stuff, to where when you go somewhere else, you have a little distance, a little space from, you know, the rest of your life. So it's such a mixed bag for me.
Yeah.
As far as that small hometown race. But the biggest pro, I think, is you actually get to see the good of the community, especially if you're in an area where your quote unquote small town is still kind of large. You mm-hmm. get to feel like, oh, there's my mailman, there's, you know, the cashier from the Publix or whatever the means are. So I will say you get to see some of the best of your community in a small hometown race.
Yeah, I can see that. I have another small hometown race that I've done, which is a 10-miler on Thanksgiving. And that was super enjoyable to kind of go through the back roads of Central Florida, where so much of it's very overly populated, and this specific race was not. I've done a few small town races. I love them. I personally will say I tend to use them as training runs. And for that, mm-hmm. it's like, it's a bonus if you get a course aid station support. If you don't, you should be planning to have it on your own, because there are some amenities that you have to think of with these smaller town races that they may not have. A big small town race that comes to mind, though, that when people are talking about tackling would be, if you're looking at traveling to a small time race, it would be Bird in Hand Half Marathon. Generally takes place in September every year. And you get to run through Amish country. It's absolutely beautiful. Of course, you've got the opportunity to have, like, the aid stations are some of the community members there. So whether you're wanting to stay at home for your small town race or actually go out somewhere into the world, there are quite a few options. And of course, you know, I wouldn't call Celebration a small town race, but I would say it's got the heart of a small town race community. So you guys could always check that one out too in January.
I was going to say, I'd probably classify Celebration as like a mid-size.
I feel like in the
factor that I feel like you could go there, like we talked about, to shoot for a PR. Like, it could be a destination without being like a full big marathon major type of destination.
Right.
So I'm giving a skewed type of definition.
I feel like it's a bit more small hometown, except for the fact, like, again, that it's 100%, because it was developed by runners, has mm-hmm. all of those amenities that maybe you may not have quite as much in some of the other small hometown races. Because I've been to small hometown races where if they had one or two aid stations on the course, that was
a lot.
Yeah. So I feel like that's probably the biggest differentiator. But also it comes down to, like, what motivates you? Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of folks that do not want to be out on those courses when they are 100% wickedly packed. So if you need more space, I would definitely say a small hometown race in terms of crowd comfort is your way to go. Scenery preference is the next one on that list. And I got to say, small hometown races are likely going to be where it's at in terms of seeing some beautiful scenery, or at least if you like more of nature. What about you, though, Coach? What do you think?
I think scenery, if you're going purely for, like, I want to see some stuff, I want to see things that I don't see all the time, I would probably say, honestly, big races are going to be the way to go, because the bigger races usually are in the historic parts. They have the landmarks. They have a different vision when they're building the course, because yes, they have to worry about logistically, but they mm-hmm. realize if they're going to be charging this much, having this big a field size, the courses need to say something all on their own. So I would say, if, like, even Big Sur, like, yeah, you're going to get nature views, but that's going to be nature views. That's not like running through the local trail and seeing somebody passed out drunk on the side of the woods and all the litter to go with it.
Well, hopefully that's not me after our tasting. But yes, world-class views, I will say, in terms of the big races, in terms of the iconic scenery. There is something to be said about that. Again, what comes to mind out of all of them that I've done, because I'm sure there's a gazillion out there that I still want to do, but the ones that I've done from a big town race, kind of a big town, I don't even know that you could classify it, would be New York City, where you truly are getting to run by, for me, it felt like running through just nostalgia of all of the shows or movies that I grew up with. So I think that's the only caveat, was that it didn't have the Brooklyn Bridge, but that's okay. We'll forgive them. We'll allow on that one. You're probably right. I would say the big races definitely do have a lot of bang for their buck in terms of the landmarks and scenery. Again, it just comes back to, there's not a right or wrong with this. It's like, what feels good to you? For some folks, they'd rather see like gorgeous foliage in rows after rows of like field land or countryside. And others need a little bit more of that electric energy. And then there's that, you know, just right in the middle. So thinking those through. Mid-sized race for me would be, gosh, people will probably say this is absolutely nuts, but I would say a mid-sized race, Miami Marathon would probably be a mid-sized. I kind of even think Run Disney is mid-sized. What do you think?
Yeah, again, it's up for interpretation. I would say, yeah, Miami's more mid-sized. And like the Fort Lauderdale, the A1A, all of those, I would say more like mid-sized going into like a local big race territory, but not full into the big race category. Run Disney, God, that's kind of like the unicorn.
Yeah.
I would teeter that closer to a big race, because there's a lot of sensory overload as well,
yeah,
that you don't get at a mid-sized race. And that is something to consider if you do have either a sensory condition or just you are sensitive to sensory overload like myself. A big race, it can get overwhelming. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of logistics. So before you dive head first, or in this case, feet first, into a big size race, I would test out with a mid size to get an idea of what you'd be getting into.
I think a really popular mid size that comes to mind for me, and again, going back to this is completely subjective. Everyone, you could probably find this specific race that I'm going to divulge on anywhere from a list about best small town races all the way to big town races, and it would be grandmas. When I hear of grandmas, I think that's like the perfect midsize, where you're still going through a lot of nature, a lot of scenery like that, some smaller towns as you go through the course, but it has a bit more logistics in terms of it. Crowds are a little bit bigger than what I would typically think of a small town race being. But you know, for all intents and purposes, if we're going to talk about field size Boston actually has a pretty small field size, and that would never be considered a mid-sized or a small town race. So
get me started on Boston right now. There's so much happening with that I don't know if I can unpack at this moment in time.
Well, friends, we're not going to get Coach Shelby heated right just yet, because we still got more on this list. So again, I think there is, though, all the way around, quite a bit of a common theme with all of the points. But let's talk about food. I'm going to say that while the quiz talked about food afterward, I actually think we should include on the course and afterwards. So we've kind of already touched on it. Some of the small town races may not have a lot of course support, so you have to be very prepared. And I know we have quite a few here locally that have, again, aid stations. You don't even know where they're gonna be.
And there's a lot of stranger dangers.
There's not even stranger dangers, because people don't come out to support them. I think I ran one, and I remember specifically everyone in my run group was complaining afterwards. And I'm like, come on, friends. We knew we were going to be like literally running through farm town. Did you really think that they were going to have aid stations for us? So
see, some of the small town, actually most of the small town races that I've ran have lots of stranger danger aid stations. Because again, here, our races mostly start like 7:30, to where a lot of the northern races might not start till 9. So there's a lot of mimosas running through this course.
That makes me super jealous about the other parts of the world that absolutely have that great,
weather, because yeah, they can do starts. It. One of my one-on-one athletes, their race didn't start till like 9 or 9:30. And I honestly was like, if that was happening here, we'd be melting. It would have gotten a black flag condition.
I have run a race that has started around 9:30. It was in January because our weather can be very unpredictable. So for friends that are considering Celebration, we should say that it was the Shark Bite Half, and they did have to delay the start because of the weather being unpredictable. So neither here nor there, though. It really was super enjoyable. So I think what we should do, Coach, before we go any further in this, is let's define what typically is considered small hometown. So small hometown race, typically about up to 500 participants. And yeah, that Thanksgiving 10 miler definitely would fall under it. Mid-size race, usually from 500 to 5,000. So I think that's where you're right. Run Disney probably is just a little bit outside of that 5,000 range. So it's touching on that big race for sure. And then again, big race over 5,000 runners. And of course, as we know, the majors can even have tens of thousands, usually in major cities or popular destinations. So I think that that pretty much defines it. An example of a big race would, again, be the majors, Boston, New York, Chicago. Mid-size, a great one would be like those regional half marathons that we're talking about, kind of like grandmas, or maybe Celebration might be considered. It's definitely a mid-size. Without that, if we're going to use participation, that's definitely mid-size.
And that's where I do feel like, I'm going to probably say it at least three more times so you guys can keep along track and have a drinking game, but it really is up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. I think like, even though Disney, I think, goes into the big race category, obviously by participation size it is, the reason I put it a little towards the mid-size is because it's so spread out that you don't feel this necessarily the same congestion. Because in the corrals, yeah, it gets a little close for comfort, but you have the ability to not be in the corral and smushed in for hours and hours on end.
Yeah, that's true. We're in a big well, especially the majors, they would
require a big cattle farm.
Yeah, they would require, exactly. They would require you absolutely to be in your corral. And I do know that can cause a lot of discomfort for folks. Those are usually the folks that you'll find towards the outside portions of the corrals, and they wait until the very last minute to jump in. So I personally love that energy. Oh my gosh. Just like the quiz said, that sardine packed energy is something that I absolutely love. It's something that you don't find in a lot of places, and probably why I cried when races came back after COVID, because it was so special to be with other people and participating in something that I love so much. So yeah, I think it's all the way around. I would say they're probably, when I think of small hometown races though, most local 5Ks would probably fall under that that territory. So again,
well, and what we had started saying about the post-race food, I'm telling you, when Ken was talking about what they have at that post-race, that's where I do think the small town to mid-size runs and races do have something special, because they're going to have that community support and that community food coming in, and you get to experience what that area is like. Not that the majors don't have it, but again, because they have so many people to figure out, so many logistics, you're probably going to get the same package, this, that, or the other thing.
Absolutely.
And so if you're going for any type of enjoyment eating, I would go for that small town to smaller mid-size race.
Yeah. Or again, this goes back to stake out where you're going to be consuming both before and after and making sure that there's going to be foods for you. Now, there are people who travel with their foods prior to race, and that's A-okay as well. Of course, just taking that into consideration, that will the location that you go to have availability of, and I know this sounds crazy, but again, I've done some small town races where there was not a microwave to be seen in our hotel room, if you want to call it a hotel room. So that basically was one step above camping. So take into consideration all of those different aspects, especially if you have any food allergies or you have any special dietary concerns. This is going to be absolutely pivotal for you in that decision-making process. Now, for me, I like big races, and I cannot lie, is because of the spectator energy. If I can't hear my thoughts and get to just hear like cheering nonstop, I'm in.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I'm probably going to say I'm more of a mid-size spectator. I like having those boosts when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't really need the continuous soundtrack. I kind of like to zone into my music for a little bit.
That's not true. I've run with you. It's because you are the cheer station for the entirety of the course. So you don't need that big town energy because you provide that party along the course with you. So yeah, folks.
I do love cheering on runners around me. Like, I'm obnoxious to run with during races.
Do not be swayed by Coach Shelby saying, oh no, sometimes I like to listen to my music. No, she don't. She's going to be cheering for everybody along the entire course, the entire time she's out there. So
still, I'm still not over though, that guy that was hacking up a lung when we did Space Coast.
That was so much. Please, friends,
just that was the worst thing ever.
We know you're going into race season. We know that you have very much so dedicated the last 3, 4, maybe even up to 6 months of your life training for it, and you don't want to necessarily skip out on this run.
But don't be that
runner. Everyone around you has also been dedicating towards that run. So please don't send them hope with whatever it is that you have at that point. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Or just be considerate. That's all we're asking. We have a whole lot of topics about being considerate, and we will maybe, because it is race season, see that coming back into play where we bring that up again. Coach, how about souvenirs? Because now this is where I think you and I have the big, like, we have a lot in common, but we have a lot that we differentiate on. And this may be it. Race souvenirs. Like, yeah. Girl, I feel like if they don't give you swag, you're going to make sure you find your own swag from that local community so you have your race souvenirs. And I'm just like, yeah.
You could go without any swag, I feel like.
Except
and be
for
very
the celebration
happy.
Blanket.
Yes.
I swear. I'm not kidding. I use this blanket every single night. And I just said it last night where I actually prefer, I have 3 of them, maybe 4. The one that I prefer the most is the one that I did the 26 miles at Celebration instead of the 13, because I feel like it's extra special because I earned it twice as much.
What is it with us Floridians liking our fleece blankets?
Because it's 3,000 degrees outside. So we keep it at 62 degrees inside. So thank you. I feel like the electric company should actually sponsor us right here and now. But yeah, so we need those blankets.
I don't know if there's ever been, I mean, now that I'm going to be doing Celebration, there will be, but I don't know if there's any swag that's left me like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I'm shocked to hear you say that. I thought you would love the Run Disney shirts.
I do love the Run Disney shirt, but mm-hmm. I've talked about it before. Like, I'd rather have like a keychain or something else versus a shirt. Per se.
Yeah.
I mean, the medals are great. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I like a little creativity. Maybe I'm partial from when we were doing, when we first unveiled our Brunch Plus boxes. Like, mm-hmm. a necklace would be awesome. A koozie is awesome. And I don't know. Yeah, I've not been blown away, to be determined, of any swag yet.
Yeah.
On any field size.
So friends, this is definitely going to be one that may touch on you specifically. You can find races that have necklaces at the end or have all, like, if you really prefer like handmade, like Bird in Hand again has a really beautiful handmade medal. Big Sur's got a very unique one that's handcrafted as well. Some of like...
some of the big ultras do belt buckles, which
yeah.
is, I think that I don't wear belts, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do with the belt buckle either. I'd probably go in my Tupperware box with everything else, but it does stand out. There's no doubt about that. So again,
I do get a tchotchke though from like somewhere random when I go places. I always get a tchotchke or a coffee mug.
I was going to say, girl, we know you get coffee mugs wherever you go to kind of celebrate that. So, and that's something that's very cool too. You guys can start your own traditions of what is your takeaway from your races and your travels whenever you start to add those in, and then thinking about what that may look like and how you can find those with all the different races, especially the different race sizes. So that's something to take into consideration. I know a lot of folks base their specific race decisions just on the medals, and we're not judging. That's you. That was definitely me the first 3 years of racing. The bigger, the better. And I would travel for big medals. So I
showed my sister-in-law my, I'm pointing to it because you guys can totally see the Space Coast. And she goes, what is that? Like a coaster?
Yeah, and it looks like a dinner plate, basically, actually.
It is. And her eyes got so big. And I'm like, listen, it's all about the bling.
So Celebration does not generally, and I don't know if they haven't unveiled their new one, they generally have what I would consider a more moderate sized medal. So if you guys are looking for really big bling, Like so big that you need to have its own space on your wall to hang up, then Space Coast may be more of your variety. I personally, again, like my medals to be just right so that they're not taking up too much space, but that's
okay,
now.
Goldilocks.
Again, I am like officially Goldilocks here. So preparation, we've already touched on this entire time. Like, what does it take? Like you even said small hometown races has pros and cons for you because you don't have to go out of your way, but it also doesn't pull you into getting to kind of just focus on the race. You still have to do all of your regular home time life kind of stuff. Again, with big races, and you guys will recall, and if you haven't checked out our World Marathon Majors blog series, it talks a lot about there's so many different things to take into consideration, different neighborhoods, public transportation, how do you get to the start line, how do you get to Expo? So taking those into consideration as to what your comfort level is. And I'm going to say this, though, I'm going to caveat this. Sometimes we choose these things not because they're in our comfort zone. So don't let your comfort necessarily dictate. If your heart is set on insert whatever race here, just know that you can make it happen, and pushing yourself past all of those lack of comfort zones is usually worth it. So just a little caveat there as we move forward. But this one's probably the biggest one, Coach, right out of the gate. We should have started with this because while
we buried the lead,
we did. While I may have a big race like love, I probably have more of a small hometown race budget, especially nowadays. So there is just a lot. If you want to do those big races, know that they come along with really big price tags, and understandably.
And there's ways to make it more cost effective. Sharing rooms, maybe doing a bus or a train versus flying, driving, different staying with family, staying with friends. So there are ways to make big races more manageable. However, the mid-size races to small town races, again, if they're relatively geographically to you, are going to be a little bit more budget friendly, because while it's a con that yes, you have to deal with your everyday life, you also don't have to necessarily have a room and board issue, finding out places to eat, you can cook at home. So all of that, taking it in, even Disney races though, because again, I think we've put them in the big races and we know we talk a lot about Disney, but because it is such a bucket list type of item along with the majors, there are plenty of ways to make it more affordable staying off property in the majors, maybe like New York, for example, staying in Jersey versus staying in the city. Little tips and tricks like that that we did go over in our blog series as well as the Quick Bites. It's all about, again, gaining that knowledge from other runners, checking our site, checking other sites, and making sure that you don't get so overzealous in signing up that you kind of don't take,
forget about everything else.
Take everything else, but it is really easy to. It's like, okay, that race entry is manageable, but you're not looking at the $500 that it's going to take to get there, or the $1,000 for the hotel and travel and everything of that nature.
Yeah, that's such a really good reminder that there is so much more to take into consideration. And I've been very transparent that likely I would not do Run Disney as much as I have if it wasn't in my backyard, if I had to travel for it, just because it can add up, especially if you guys are coming with family or looking at heading to the parks. One of the wonderful things, though, again, about Celebration is that you could still hit the parks afterwards, but at a fraction of the cost if you're staying near Celebration, of course. And again, you don't have to pay those big Run Disney entries or freak out about being at 10 o'clock on registration day at your computer. So we're going to
get $15 off.
I know. So don't forget to use that special discount code. Join us at the Celebration Marathon. It is going to be January 27th of 2024. A little pro tip, if you guys have been considering, if it's been in your heart, like it's in Coach Shelby's, to be here live to spectate for the Olympic trials, this race is just the weekend before. We're literally just about 35 minutes south of where the Olympic trial course is going to be. So if you pop on in and to do Celebration, you get some run-in, you maybe visit the theme parks for a little bit, and then you'll still be here in town for that following Saturday to spectate. I think that the entire city is going to be abuzz, and I'm sure there's going to be a celebrity or two sighting that week. I would assume so anyway.
I don't go into fangirl mode, but if I see an elite walking around, I'm gonna lose my shit. I'm not gonna be chill at all.
I guess that's okay. I'll fangirl about the race directors, you fangirl around the elites, and we will find our, hopefully they all don't get scared of us.
You know, I'll keep it professional. It's fine.
Well, friends, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Give yourself a high five. Make sure that you're rehydrating and refueling if you were out on your run with some of those brunch-tastic favorites. And while you're recovering and resetting for your next run, be sure to go into those show notes where you'll find that link. But again, also, we want to welcome you to come on back, check us out for our Quick Bites edition, because we're in the middle of our Running Through the Decade series, and I think we haven't had so much fun in any series. I mean, I love the series, but this one is so much fun.
We keep saying that, but it's like every series we do, we're like, this is the best one. No, this is the best one.
This is the best one for
now. It's a fun. It's a love fest. So yeah, out of the series we're currently doing, this is the best one.
Okay. Well, friends, if that doesn't like put a little extra pep in your stuff, then you're going to definitely want to check us out next Friday where we have our next long run. And we're going to chat all things costuming for race season, Run Disney, and of course, all of those Halloween fun runs. So we're going to see you again when it's time for brunch, because we're going to keep serving up more miles with
a side of smiles.